Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Bronx, New York, this is the Brovian Talks. For news, information, opinions, videos, and stuff, follow us on Twitter at Brovian93, at Brovian93. That is Brovian93. Brovian93 on Twitter. So the Jets, they suck. The season's over. Before, I've defended this coach. I've defended Fitzpatrick. Right now, it's kind of hard to do that. Fitzpatrick is done for the year. We know that he's gone. We'll never see him again in the Jet uniform, at least. The coach, it's kind of hard to defend the coach when it feels like the locker room is lost. Players are being misused. You have a great running game, and you never use it. The special team sucks. The team is old. And you're putting players in wrong positions. I mean, this team is worse than we thought. I get it. They had a tough schedule. Believe me. I had them going 8-8 this year. I had them going like 2-4 at the beginning of the year. But I had them winning 4 in a row after that. I had them beating the Rams, the Dolphins. I mean, I never knew how much special teams, especially. The special teams on this team sucks. I've never seen a special teams unit cost a football team as many games as this one. They cost us opening day. They cost it against Miami. They cost it against the Rams. They can't block. They can't make extra points. They get penalized. You have guys catching the ball within the 10-yard line instead of letting it go into the end zone. I mean, whoever the special teams coach is has to go, because this special teams is absolutely atrocious. The Jets should have at least 2 more wins if they have a decent, an average special teams unit out there. I mean, outside of the Vikings, who just have a bad kicker, the whole unit sucks, from the blocker to the kicker. You know, you have 2 good running backs who, when used effectively or used correctly, can win you ball games. We get it. The offensive line isn't that good. We get it. You don't have a quarterback. If you really want to win football games, run the ball. How many times do Jet fans have to say, run the damn ball? Especially in the red zone. They don't do it. I mean, you let him protect it the whole time, and he bombed. Receivers are catching the ball. Who cares that Eric Decker's out? Brandon Marshall dropped like every big pass possible. I can't think of one catch outside of catching Pittsburgh that he's caught this year. I mean, even in Nunavar, who started off the year hot, he doesn't run anymore. Way to go. And yesterday, you have this young quarterback who I guess has a great arm, and you play the game conservatively. Your season's over. You're not going to the playoffs. You're not winning your division. Let's see what kind of arm this kid has. I mean, you're playing the Rams. You're home. And you have nothing to lose. Let Bryce Petty throw the damn ball. Let him loose. Let him throw 30 passes. 35. Let's see what kind of arm he has. Run the ball. Be creative. The season's over. Play for next season. You got what? 7 games left. Throw the conservative plays out and just let loose. And his defense. I mean, can you make a big stop late in the game? It's old. Old. I mean, you spent 2 seasons in this regime and you have to blow it up. It's not over now. It's a rebuild. All this should have been done last year. I think that a 10-win season last year, apparently it looked like full gold. Looking back at it now, I wish the team was 4-12 last year so they could start it over this year. Now this coaching staff is going into its 3rd year for next year. The general manager, they have 1 year to prove they can keep the job. That's a terrible position for a coach and a franchise, especially a fan base, to be in. I'm 23 years old, and I'm getting sick of it. I could imagine how a 50-year-old Jet fan feels about this. You know, I've seen it at least 3 times, if not 4, in my lifetime. They've seen it about 50 times. This franchise has to stop going for the quick fix. We get it. We need to rebuild. We might have 3 or 4, we might have 2 or 3 losing seasons or pretty bad years. But if those 2 or 3 years pay off and we get some talent, so it might be worth it at the end. Who knows? Look at the Cowboys in the 90s. They sucked before they got to 3 Super Bowls. They're Pittsburgh. They were terrible before they won in the 70s. They were garbage. But they're going to do it. Next season, probably get a veteran quarterback, get some veteran players to, you know, fill these holes and take one shot at it like they did last year. And last year, they didn't make the postseason. So, whatever. Well, on the bright side of my sports world, the Devils. After losing their 1st 2 games of the season, losing in Tampa in regulation, losing in overtime to Florida, this Devil team has been playing unbelievable hockey. I haven't been watching as much as I would like due to the World Series and the election. But I was watching the game on Friday and on Saturday against Buffalo. Now, I get it, it's Buffalo. Not the best team in the NHL, but let's face it, if you can't beat Buffalo or get 3 out of 4 points against them in back-to-back games, you shouldn't go anywhere. And this Devils team, now we all knew going in, the goaltending was there. We all knew it. The backup, the starter, Snyder, Kincaid, we knew they were there. We knew that Corey Snyder was an elite goaltender, at least top 10, if not top 5 in the league. But this offense, who I was moaning about all last season, be more aggressive, take more shots, score goals, stop being creative, just shoot the damn puck. I mean, this offense is so aggressive. We haven't seen a Devils offense this aggressive probably since 2012 when they went to the finals. And I said it before the season started. Watch out for the Devils. The goaltending's there. The defense is there. And they can be more disciplined by taking less dumb penalties and actually score goals, they'll be good to go. I mean, right now, in goal differential, they're plus 5. Last year, they were deep in the negatives. I mean, last season, they were losing games 1-0, 2-1. You can't go to the playoffs or win a cup with those kind of scores or those kind of losses. This year, they're winning games 4-2. 3-1. And of course, in Devils hockey, the D in Devils stands for defense. And this defense is probably one of the best in the league. Right now, if the Devils keep this up, we could be in a ride for another playoff trip. Or for our first playoff trip in 4 seasons. I'm looking at the stats now. I'm just running through it. At least in the Eastern Conference, the Devils have given up 30 goals. In the Eastern Conference, that's the lowest goals allowed. The Rangers, the Canadiens, have given up more goals than the Devils have. The Devils are top 3 in goals allowed. They're behind Minnesota, and they're behind second. They're behind Minnesota. You could tell a playoff team just by looking at goal differential. If it's in the positive, believe me, you have a pretty good shot of making the postseason. I mean, look at last year. Out of the 16 teams who made the playoffs, 15 of them had a positive goal differential. 15 out of 16 were in the green. Only one was in the red. It is how well your season is going. Besides the obvious, is goal differential. But I believe this team so far, I said going in, you know, with Camilleri, Henrik, Palmieri, and Hall leading the offense, and Snyder behind the net, or in front of the net, this team really has a shot for a cup. I really like this team. I said it before the season started that this could be a return, not just to the postseason, but to contenders. And I really think, come playoff time, if the team's healthy, continues this play, watch out for the Devils. Now, believe me, you got Pittsburgh, who's playing unbelievable. The Rangers, who are shocking the NHL world right now. I don't think anybody said the Rangers being this good. I know I didn't. So Islanders, and it might go up to these guys. The Islanders last year took a step forward. This year they take two steps back. And the Canadiens, you know. I said before the season started, my top contenders, I said Tampa, I said Pittsburgh. I completely forget about Montreal. Montreal last year, I forget. It was the last year or the year before. It started off really, really hot. And then the whole team practically got injured and they collapsed or melted away. I completely forgot about them. I think it was last year. Last year, they were one of the hottest teams, if not the best team in hockey. And the whole team got injured. And it just went away. They withered away to nothing. I completely forgot about Montreal. And then Montreal is absolutely unbelievable. Get this. They're undefeated at home. They're 10-0-0 at home. 2-1 in the year. Their goal differential is plus 19. I thought Tampa was great. Montreal, unbelievable. I mean, this team, you know, if they stick to this, forget Tampa, forget Pittsburgh, it might be theirs. And they got goaltending. I mean, I think their goaltending is better than Pittsburgh's, better than Tampa's. On par with the Devils, on par with the Rangers. I can't believe it. I forgot about Montreal. I completely forgot about them. Because last year they were hot out of the gate and they all got injured. I couldn't believe it. The hockey world, Devils look good. Jets suck. No surprise there. Pretty much my childhood. So 60 Minutes, I believe, had their first interview with President-elect Trump. And, you know, people, you know, I don't know if it's just, you know, partisanship, media perception, but does anybody really think that Donald Trump, we saw in the campaign, was going to be our president? I mean, you know, all you have to do is look at interviews of Trump back in the 80s, 90s, pre-2010, this guy. I mean, this is a guy who voted for John Kerry in 2004, a Democrat over the Republican president. This is a guy who called George W. Bush the worst president in history, back when Bush was president. And you believe that the guy on the campaign trail was going to be a president? Is that rhetoric? I mean, he even admitted to Megyn Kelly. I mean, on the show back in, what, June or May, when Megyn Kelly did an interview with him, he admitted it. He said, I had to say these things to get attention. I mean, he was one of 16. How well can a non-politician who people are already laughing at, dismissing, how in the hell is this going to get attention? He can't unless he brings the media to him. Unless he, you know, says outrageous things. Says things that will draw eyeballs to the TV. I mean, this is the ultimate hypocrisy. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it a million more times. Politics is nothing but hypocrisy and liars or sellouts, if you want to be more cynical. But I mean, really, this is a guy who was really well-respected before he challenged Obama's bus. Which even I said was a mistake. just goes on all the talk shows, was probably friends with all of them. He's Howard Stern, Opie and Anthony, Jay Leno, David Letterman, Conan a couple of times. He did Oprah. If you want old interviews with him pre-2010, that's our president, not the guy on the buffoon, if you want to call it, who we saw from June of last year up until November 7th or 8th. And again, he showed last night that he's not crazy. He's not a kook. He might be an egomaniac, fine, but he's a well-mannered, intelligent human being. And he's not an ideologue. He's just not. Name me one conservative out there who voted for John Kerry over George W. Bush, or was such a huge supporter of Bill Clinton. This guy could care less about abortion or gay rights. He even said the gay rights matter is over with. And he was for gay rights before Hillary Clinton was or before Obama was. The guy on the campaign trail was just a vote-getter, was an attention seeker, was somebody who wanted to stand out and not be pummeled like the other candidates did. He wanted to be the lead. Not some guy hid in the background saying, oh, dear Donald. We are now seeing the president, not the campaigner, but we are now seeing the President Trump, or the, as I call it, the real Donald Trump. And he did great. He was calm, cool, collected. He was himself. And he was rational. He said he wanted to keep the provisions of, people who live with their parents, keeping the health care to 26. He was with them, or agreed that the pre-existing condition thing is still being tagged. He said that the gay rights stuff is over. It's been decided. He's not going to fight that. That's not his fight. Mike Pence, probably different story than Donald Trump. And you saw Priebus and Banner. He wants to hear all sides, left, right, up, down, angle, side. He wants to hear everything and then make a decision out of it. This guy isn't stupid. All these protesters protesting, leaving class, going into the streets, waving Mexican flags. Calling Trump a racist, a homophobe. Saying that he's not our president. I've defended the protesters and the people who were scared or angry or whatever. But because, I got it, I was in that place 4 years ago. I was angry. I was scared that the candidate I voted for didn't win. And so many other Republicans. But remember, Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. Well, right now, I hate to say it, to push a bubble, but to be fair, they're going low. Donald Trump already went high. They're going low now. And I must give, the politicians credit. I've killed the politicians on both the left and the right, Donald Trump has handled this thing greatly, post-election stuff greatly. Obama, the president, has handled it greatly too. You know, I think this is the most. I gotta watch myself here. I think this is the most united Obama has looked, or the most bipartisan Obama has looked since he was elected president, to be honest with you. Even Bernie Sanders and other Democrats are willing to work with Trump. I mean, remember, like in 2000, you had Democrats saying Bush isn't their president. So 8 years of Obama, you have Republicans fighting tooth and nail, pretty much making sure nothing got done. Now, believe me, both were two-way street. They both were. But I'm talking about the losing side. You know, the Democrats lost in 2000, Republicans lost in 2012. And a protest, I mean, come on, you know. Trump isn't president yet. He hasn't done anything. I can see if Trump did something or passed a law or said something or, you know, made a deal of some kind that was going to hurt those group of people who are protesting. Then it would go like, yeah, protest. And you have every right to protest. Well, they have any right to protest anyway. But I can see, you know, their reasoning for protesting. A protesting? He hasn't done anything yet as president? I mean, you can at least let him do something. You know? And if he sucks, go to the streets. If he's this, you know, Nazi as you all think he is, then go to the streets. Because he hasn't done anything yet. Let's see what happens. Let's see. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, you see Republicans protesting. You didn't see them, you know, waving God knows what flag. They took it. They cried. They were depressed. And they moved on. And they went to the White House 4 years later. Democrats, do the same thing. Get ready, do this and so forth, and for the next election. But let's see what Trump does. Remember, Trump is not an ideologue. He's just not. Get over it. You lost. He won. And believe me, if Hillary would have won, and the Trump voters would be doing the same thing that you're doing, you would be laughing at them, calling them names, belittling them, insulting them. And all of this is a bit of hypocrisy on both sides, and it's stupid. It's illogical. But it's politics, so it's okay then, I guess. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. Get over it. You lost. Move on.